Hello. Welcome to this first thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosserlookouat.roniezone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Good evening, everyone. How is everybody doing? We have just watched Stable Boy. This is our first thoughts episode, which is the one where we give our first thoughts after watching the episode, strangely enough. That's why we call it that. And we have not had time to rewind, focus, look up.
We purposely don't do that.
So.
And you are?
My name is Jeff Roni. And you are?
Colleen Roni.
Excellent.
And this is the?
This is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. There are many Once Upon a Time podcasts, and we're glad you've tuned in to ours.
Yes, that is true.
So what did you think?
I'm knitting to calm myself because that was pretty epic.
Okay.
It was an unbelievable episode. I mean, there were so many good points to that. It was amazing. It was an amazing episode. Really enjoyed it a lot.
I would give the subtitle to this episode, Trust. It's all about trust. Who do you trust? Who can you trust? Who should you trust? Should you trust yourself?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
The initial.
Sorry.
You're flailing about. So the initial.
That's good.
Yeah.
Go.
The initial discussion was with Mr. Gold and Regina.
Yes.
And it said a week ago.
Week ago.
Right. So they were actually discussing the setup of Mary Margaret.
Correct.
And all the pieces. And he was saying to Regina, you can put the key in her cell.
Yes.
So he was setting the stage for everything else that would transpire.
That is correct.
So that was all very interesting.
It was indeed.
And there were other trust situations throughout the episode. The interesting thing with all the strong women in Once Upon a Time, that for the first time, we saw a daddy's girl in Regina. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I think she kind of, we kind of saw a little bit of that though before, you know, when she, I mean, if he's the thing she loves most.
You're right. But, I guess
but what she kind of hid who he was.
True. Let me restate what I meant. What I meant was she was kind.
Oh, gotcha. She took after daddy.
And she was kind to her father pretty much. He was more of a confidant later on.
Right.
But it was eerie that she was so nice. It was just very different. Obviously, this is what we had to see, but it was...
Right. She was kind. Do you know what I saw, though? I saw a very desperate girl wanting so to please her mother and couldn't do it no matter what she did.
Right.
And so she started to get a little defiant because she figured, I'm sure on some level, I can't please her no matter what I do, and I'm getting tired of this baloney, so I'm just going to be myself. And I think that, you know, there's a little spiritedness in her.
Did you notice, this is the one thing that I noticed, there were so many classic female archetype life situations in this episode. Mm-hmm. The clash between the daughter and the mother.
Sure.
Marriages that were being foisted upon people.
Right.
And again, another marriage. The last one that I recall off the top of my head is King George.
Mm-hmm.
Said, if you don't marry her, I will kill you.
Right.
Right. And again, a marriage with so much weight on it that she had to.
Right. It was out of duty. It was not out of compassion, out of love, out of any kind of anything. It was duty.
The clashes, obviously, and I know we're skipping around already, so it's a different kind of a podcast, folks. So just buckle up and hang on. So there were so many clashes between Regina and her mother.
Right.
Did we ever get her name?
I don't think I heard her name. Just, she referred to her as mother. So. Oh, no, wait, you know what? I'm going to have to think about that because I do believe he said her name. Daddy said, I thought he said like Vera, Verna.
Okay, it didn't something stick like out that. To me.
No, it didn't, so. But he did mention her name.
But it is very interesting. Obviously, there is this clash. I don't want to go too psychological, whatever, but just there is this constant competitiveness between daughters and mothers. And I don't know if the mother wants to have the youthfulness of the daughter and the daughter wants to be free of the clutches, if you will, of the mother. And there's this constant wrestling and this warfare. And in this episode, it took on magic, which was even farther. So I just noticed a lot of different things.
Clashes between mother and daughter, especially teenage girls and their mothers, is extremely common. Yeah, in fact, it's rare to find a relationship between a mother and her teenage daughter where there aren't clashes.
Yes. And I'm not saying it. I was shocked by it.
No.
I was saying that,
but you're right.
They hit on all the big moments. Love, I love him. I don't love him. Why are you making me not be with him? My heart is with him. And I want to be this for my life. I don't want to do this. And that kind of a thing. And you need to do what's right. And it was just very interesting, this whole, so many layers of this. So
because the sad fact is I think most women, when they hit that age, they think they know what they want. And it's true. They absolutely do. And in some cases, they are right on the money. And I'm not saying that Regina wasn't right. I think she really did truly love him. I really believe she did, because in her position, she shouldn't have given him the time of day, because she was clearly above his station in life. And the fact that she loved him and was willing to give everything up and run away with him, that kind of tells me she really did love him.
Right.
So that's an unusual thing at her age. But again, how old was she supposed to be? 16, 18, somewhere around. I think she was probably close to 18. Hmm. You know, and although most of the fairy tales, the girls are like 16, 17. Anyway, point being is she was a young teenager. And she was in love with this boy, the stable boy. And I think the clash with her mom was because she really truly did, and she knew what her mother wanted for her. And her mother wouldn't have understood because, again, as we found out later, her mother worked so hard and made all kinds of deals in order to get the life that they had.
Yeah, we're jumping all around now.
I know.
And that's okay. So I want to get back to the deals in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many stories about love with an uncommon person.
Right.
And Regina's mother, as with most mothers in these stories that we're seeing, is always thinking about the betterment of the family, the betterment of the farm, the betterment, what you do.
What is for the greater good.
Right, right. And it's, unfortunately, it's not all about love.
No.
It's about power.
Mm-hmm.
It's about wealth. It's about taking care of the mother, the family, the farm, whoever, all these things. And it was just fascinating to see this, because all these fairy tales that we've heard is all about true love, happily ever after, and all this. But what we're seeing in this version of the stories is it's all about money, power, privilege, taking care of gold, that kind of a thing.
Correct. So, but her mother has magic. So I have to wonder, does she really care about the power and the wealth and all that stuff? Because with magic, don't you think she could produce that stuff herself? I'm just asking it out of curiosity.
If she could, then why? Let's go into the deals now. So obviously, she has had dealings with Rumpelstiltskin, I would imagine.
I would imagine it's either him or, sorry, little Wookiees. It's either him or it is the other dark one.
Okay. So now let's talk about the magic that Regina's mother was wielding.
Right.
And the blue aura of the magic that I saw reminded me instantly of that first scene in Desperate Souls when the dark one was on the horse,
right,
holding the orb or whatever,
right,
and then the magic of pushing the people down, and you saw this around them kind of holding them down,
right,
and then the more we saw the mother control Regina and then use the belts to hold her, bind her and holding her up in the air, it reminded me instantly of Maleficent.
When Regina
and the
did
evil
that
queen,
her.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So obviously she either learned from Mama,
right,
or she got Mama's power,
right,
somehow,
right.
So because we did not see Regina use magic,
no,
but we did see her tell her mother, "Don't use magic. Just talk to me. Come, please."
Right.
So because her mother obviously was a hair trigger and just, you know. So use magic, whatever, for whatever situation. So,
yes.
And we see another cruel mother throughout many, many fairy tales. So it's almost a given.
The irony is, though, it wasn't typically the mother that was the cruel one. It was the stepmothers that were the cruel ones.
Okay.
And so for this one to have the mother be the cruel one, that's kind of unusual. Hmm. It's very unusual. So it'd be interesting to see that backstory, to see what happened to her and how she got the way she is. And speaking of how she got the way she is, okay, I know everyone says that Snow, Regina included, says that Snow ruined her life. But honestly, I think after seeing this, Snow did something that was, in innocence, she really was innocent. I don't think she did it maliciously. That just doesn't seem like it was her thing. She wasn't being bratty. So the fact is, Snow shouldn't have said anything because she made a promise. So she learned the hard way, you better shut your mouth when you keep a promise. But Regina misplaced the anger onto Snow. It should have been on her mother.
Well,
Snow just innocently told her mother what was going on.
But isn't... This is going to be a very psychological discussion
tonight. I know.
But isn't most truly anger-filled when you hold a grudge, isn't it misplaced?
A lot of
times,
isn't
it never on the actual person or situation that happened? Over time, you kind of pick somebody and say, it's you. And then sometimes, I mean, I've heard, you know, probably me, but a lot of different people, when they have a discussion about a situation that happened and they say, you know, remember when you did that? I never did that. That was my brother or somebody else. It's
yeah.
Like, really?
I suppose.
I thought you said that. No. Maybe somebody said that you know what I mean? So
right.
Over time, sometimes things get whatever. But obviously she made a decision at that point. Said, I'll be your stepmother and I'll keep you under my thumb and we'll see how this plays out. So thank you very much for spilling the beans. Ruining my life. I mean, my mother certainly had a hand in it.
Right. But see,
but
she's not even blaming her mother.
And yet,
her mother has been the source of her frustration for probably the majority of her life.
And her mother is, dun-dun-dun-dun, the Miller's daughter.
Yes. Yes.
So.
That was very interesting that is how they played that out there. So.
All right.
What?
So Daniel, the
stable boy.
Stable boy.
Yeah.
Anything about the name Daniel stick out to you? Nothing kind of stuck out to me.
No.
Okay.
No.
So.
No.
When David was walking up to Emma, talking about Mary Margaret.
Yes.
And saying, can I talk to her? And she says, look, you don't need to. She doesn't want to talk to you. She's not taking any people to see her right now. Well, what does she need? And Emma says she needs a miracle. I just thought that was kind of hung there.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the whole horse riding scene, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I figured we'd kind of go into that a little bit. A little bit, because that was kind of an important scene. And of course, as we found out later, we think there may have been something more to it. But I thought it was pretty awesome for me to watch that, just because growing up, here's a fun little fact about me. I actually grew up riding horses, and I was a jumper the way Regina was. So I jumped, rode horses and jumped over jumps like most of my childhood. So I really appreciated that and loved watching that. The fact that Snow was riding a horse that was wild and running amok, it was kind of interesting that was how they introduced them to each other. It just struck me as that's just how they are. And it's funny, have we seen Snow ride a horse since then?
Yeah.
We have?
Well, with the Prince Charming. Sure.
With Prince Charming. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
And Snow falls, especially.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I just couldn't remember if she hadn't gotten back up on the horse. But that was interesting, though, because that's the absolute truth. When you fall off a horse, and believe me, I've fallen many times, the best thing you do is get back up on the horse. And so that was really...
So what kind of, I remember you were talking about, and I know some people won't like we're getting too deep in this, but you were telling me about two different kinds of jumping. Was this English or you were telling me there was a couple of different styles of
jumping? Well, there's actually a few different styles of riding, not so much jumping, but there's riding, and she was riding English.
Okay.
That's traditional English riding. Then there's Western, which is what, you know, cowboys typically rode in the totally different saddle, totally different everything, and how how you sit on the horse, etc. I rode English, so jumpers are always English riders. Not to say you can't jump in Western, but it's harder. Anyway.
I thought I heard Regina say that there was a fingerprint on Catherine's heart box. I swear I thought I heard her say fingerprint instead of prints, plural. So anyway, I listened and I heard that and went, wow, that's strange. Only one? Wow. Okay.
I did not pick up on that, but that doesn't mean anything.
The other thing I noticed is that Regina leaned into Mary Margaret and said, you're leaving Storybrooke.
Yes.
Now. That's one of the things that we keep discussing is that everyone one day will leave Storybrooke and return to Fairytale Land. But was what she said prophetic? You understand? She said it in a way of saying, I'm forcing you. I'm making you leave. But in the end, that's going to happen anyway.
Here's what I took that to mean. Because we know that anybody who tries to leave Storybrooke has bad things happen to them.
Yes.
They crash cars. They seemingly disappear.
Family members have heart attacks.
Correct. So to me, what that seemed like was that she was going to purposely push her outside of Storybrooke to force her to die, essentially, without coming right out and saying, you're going to die.
Okay.
Because I think that's really ultimately what she wants.
I thought when Mr. Gold put that apple on Regina's desk, and when they were talking about Mary Margaret and Prince Charming keeping them apart, I thought he was going to cut that apple in half.
Cut it in half?
Right. I thought he was going to say, well, the only way that you can really be free of this is to keep them apart.
Oh, okay. You know?
That's what I expected to happen. I didn't see it.
I was waiting for him to take a bite of it right. or offer it to her
yeah.
and see if she would eat it. Because, right. you know, he would naturally suspect poison apple. But
so I get the in feeling now of Back to the Future more and more and more.
Okay.
In that the parents, if you can keep the parents apart, then the future changes.
Hmm.
And I may have thought that before, but I'm seeing that more now in the discussion they had. You know, you're having trouble keeping them apart, aren't you? Every time they find a way to get back together.
I think he's just taunting her.
Yeah, sure.
Honestly, and I know it looked like they're in cahoots with each other, but honestly, I think he's playing her like a fiddle. Mm. He no more is on her side than... Anyway, he's playing her. Now, what I did find interesting was when the whole jail scene, when Sydney just walked in out of nowhere with a pot full of tulips. First thing I said was, that's a plant.
Right.
And I didn't mean like the kind that grows in the ground. I knew that that was some way he was going to spy on her. I had a feeling there was a bug or some little camera or some crazy thing in there. I just suspected that from the beginning. Because I'm going, that's so random and weird. Why would he just walk in there with a plant and say, oh, I thought I'd brighten up the place?
Sure.
I'm going, Emma, really? You're going to fall for that?
After last week,
mm-hmm.
when we had the discussion about all the realms or mm-hmm. the lands bumping together, whatever Jefferson called them.
Right.
I find it interesting, and we've seen it before, where one area will be used in a number of different stories in fairy tale land.
Uh-huh.
But I found it interesting they mentioned Firefly Hill.
Yes, I caught that too.
So now we're kind of getting closer. Well, it was in Dreamy.
Correct.
And that's where... Dreamy at the time.
And Nova.
Met Nova.
Yep. That was our secret little location.
Yes.
And that's where he was going to meet too, which that's an interesting little place.
Yes.
Kind of like Lover's Lane, so to speak.
Sure. Or maybe the, you know, the well, Snow White's well at Disneyland. That's where people fall in love and maybe ask someone to marry them.
That is true.
That is not where I ask you, but
no.
Some do.
That is true.
I also thought it was interesting that young Regina said, a woman never misses tea time. And I kind of thought it was funny.
Oh, she said a lady.
A lady. But I was thinking, well, a man doesn't want to miss tea time either. Isn't that for golf?
Oh, tea time. Yes.
Okay.
A different kind of tea time.
True. Correct. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of funny.
That is funny.
So, in Regina's mother's situation, the magic that she wields was not love.
No, not at all.
So, for the first time, we see magic that is bad or not love, because we've only heard that the true love is magic and all this. So.
Right. Well, and again, you know, why is Regina's mother so concerned with Regina marrying the king? As we saw at the end, it kind of almost seems
power.
Like, well, of course.
Yeah.
It's not for Regina's benefit. And true. And is it because her mother, I kind of got the impression it's that whole thing of, you know, I didn't do so well, so I want you to do better than I did. Look who I married, your father. I mean, and I had to be the one to make the deals, and I had to be the one.
It's a classic parent script. It's they hand it out.
Yeah.
Every parent says, I want you to do better than me.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and there's nothing wrong with a parent wanting the best for their children. There's nothing wrong with a parent wanting
right,
the best for their children.
But if they push them too far.
But there's a difference between right. wanting the best for their children yeah. and forcing their own wishes and dreams and hopes and plans onto their children.
Mm-hmm. True.
And that's what I feel like Regina's mother did.
I believe it was Emma say that's her best chance of winning the case. And that's another time we heard best chance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So best chance giving up a child for adoption, and now best chance winning the case. I just don't think they reuse words off the cuff. I think they're have meaning behind
them. Yes, so. Yes.
The DA of the case was none other than the Storybrooke version of King George, his
which was awesome.
Alter ego.
Which was awesome.
And I'm wondering where he lives.
Yeah.
Does he live out by the well? I don't know where he lives. I certainly haven't seen him before. Was he in a cell next to Belle? Did Regina call him up like a shortstop or something?
No,
or
I don't think
pitcher?
So.
I don't know.
He's the DA. Why would he be involved in everyday life? He just wouldn't be. That didn't surprise me.
Is he
me.
In the library?
No.
Okay.
It's not in the library.
All right. So, Mr. Gold did not stop Mary Margaret from saying the most incriminating thing ever.
Exactly.
People watching, probably recording going on, and then he halfway through, now let's stop this interview. And then she keeps talking and the DA keeps asking questions.
Yeah.
So it's very, they're saying the right things, but they're not doing the right things.
Correct.
Let's get her out of here. No, we'll let her stay. And then we'll let the DA just keep talking. Okay.
Right.
So the purple smoke. We've seen it used in transporting things, but I'm seeing it more and more for things to appear. And we saw the purple smoke.
It conjures
when it
things.
Changed her dress, Regina's dress,
mm-hmm.
from one style to another.
It conjures up things.
Okay. So the King Leopold said that we lost Snow's mm-hmm. mother years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So lost is an interesting term.
That is correct.
Could mean she died. Could mean something else. We don't know.
That yet. Is true. That is very true.
So the forced arranged marriage.
Uh-huh.
And we were kind of talking about this in the commercial break. And I remember me telling somebody that we knew that said that she felt like she had to marry this person. I said, why don't you say no?
Yeah.
Oh, no. We've sent out all the invitations and we've rented this and we rented that. And I said, but if you know you shouldn't marry that person or you feel like you shouldn't, say no. Give it another 6 months or a year. Oh, well, everyone would be upset with me. I said, would you rather get a divorce or say no? So it's just interesting that these forced marriages and when they say no, it's horrific. People are hunting you down, trying to kill you. And then the mother of the woman is going to get married to the king, kills the other guy, you know, and it's just, mm-hmm. this is a really, you better not want to marry who you want to marry in these stories. So, but it was just very, it was almost a classic study of female moments in time and situations in life. So,
yeah, there were definitely points of that.
So Regina said to Snow White, if you fall off the horse, you have to face your fear and get back on the horse again.
Right.
But when she realized that she would have to marry King Leopold and she wasn't in love with him, she said, well, to Daniel, let's run.
Right.
Let's get out of town. Right. You know, I don't want to tell mom. I don't want to be around here. So it was interesting that she, in one case, to one person said, you need to face it. And in her situation, it's like, let's get out of here. It's very, very reminiscent of Granny saying, we hide.
Right.
Like Rumpelstiltskin.
Right.
Let's hide. Let's run. Let's not face whatever. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is.
And I talked about Regina learning from her mom.
Yeah, because it looked like, I mean, the binding up of Regina herself, she turned around and did that to Maleficent.
Yep.
Using the door closing thing.
Yep.
She learned that from mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the heart thing.
Yes.
Oh, dear Lord.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. She learned that from mom.
So then the big question is, where did mom learn it from?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's the thing. Where did mom? She said she made deals. So where did mom? Who'd make mom make those deals with? We can assume it was Rumpelstiltskin.
Right.
But we don't know.
But then there's been these discussions about this wizard who created the hood for Red. Would this wizard know things outside of maybe Rumpelstiltskin? So, or even, you know, the Dark One, Zoso, whatever.
Right.
So
that's the thing.
The, you know, again, it was this interesting conversation about love, and basically you can't force love. It either is or it isn't. And young men and young women everywhere, that's the bane of their existence. They want love with this person, but you just can't make it. You can't conjure love.
You wish you have it.
Love potion number 9 from Rumpelstiltskin's little jars, and but it just can't happen.
You cannot fabricate love.
No. But it was interesting. They said true love is magic, mm-hmm. and true love's kiss will break any curse. So there's something about true love.
Right.
You know, what is that? It's not, and Regina discussed infatuation. And so it's very interesting to have this conversation about love, the difference between infatuation and let's throw in romance mm-hmm. and love, true love. So.
Yeah.
Really a deep episode to listen to all the different words and situations that were used. I thought it was interesting that Emma looked like a Jedi in her hood. And she was discussing questioning her instincts with August.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I love August's little monologue.
Yeah.
He said, if you knew, because he named off, he said there was a murder, a cover-up, and all these different parts of it. He said, if you knew then what all these parts were, would you approach it differently? And then she said, change of perspective. He said, well, let's go. Let's take a look.
I love that they went to the toll bridge again and somebody spray painted the letter R in red, which I thought was hilarious.
I also kind of, my eyes got really big when I watched August kind of have a little trouble walking.
Yes.
Around that point.
Yes, I did too.
And he said, I have shin splints.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, really? Let's take a look at your knees there. What kind of trouble are you having?
Yeah.
Because I thought what we're going to find in the hole mm-hmm. was another shaft or something down deep. And I thought the closer that he would get to a real close point mm-hmm. with the fairy tale land, that maybe he was reacting to that. But obviously, he would have done it the same way at the well because the water would have been connected to it. So
absolutely.
So I dispatched that thought.
I did pick up on that. I absolutely picked up on that. And I still hold my theory that he's Pinocchio.
Okay.
It's even more evidence. And the fact that when Emma went to his room and was saying, you know, blah, 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 she knew I was coming. And you think I told her? Yeah, you're the only one who knew. And he's like, I don't tell lies, or I do not lie. And she says, a liar would say that. So it just cements for me again. Now, somebody pointed out to me, and I don't know where they got this information. I have not found anything to corroborate this, so I do not know. But it was pointed out to me that the creators of the show have purportedly said that he added his story to the book, and since Pinocchio was already in the book, then therefore he can't possibly be Pinocchio. But I know that what I heard them say, the two times I saw them live and talking about this, is that he added to the book. They did not say he added his story. He just added pages to the book. So I never heard that. So if there's an article or something like that somebody knows about, I would love to know where that is, where they said that he added his story, because I don't believe he said that. So anyway, I'm still holding on to Pinocchio. I'm still holding on to that.
So let's talk about the picture that was in the book last week.
Okay.
Not tonight, last week.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see that. in this episode.
No, I didn't either.
She was holding some type of a heart pendant or necklace or something. Right. I did not see that.
I didn't either.
We're still kind of looking for that.
Yeah.
The shovel. Here's what I think about Regina. I think Regina. Well, no, that's not right. I thought Regina was so powerful that she would have other people do what she needed done. Like the Godfather, like Jabba the Hutt, whatever. These powerful entities.
Yeah.
But she took the key and got the note from Mary Margaret's house. Or was it Catherine's house.
Catherine's house.
She actually did that. And it looks like she spray painted tramp on Mary Margaret's car.
Right.
At least we can assume that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was interesting because, okay, when I first saw the piece of the shovel, I said, Mr. Gold, easy. But again, I jumped too quick and I was wrong. So anyway,
I thought about it and I thought, I also, for a split second, thought it could be Gold too, because he had bought a shovel, but I thought
he was using a shovel.
He was using a shovel, right. Yes, you're absolutely right. But the shovel he was using, I don't recall it being that shape. I recall it being more of a rounded shape.
And that was my next thing. I need to take a look at it again.
Right.
So
yeah,
there was interesting. There's two sides to the coin, and you kind of help me here: justice and mercy. Okay. So justice is the playing out of the law. When someone is wronged, justice is played out.
Right.
Mercy is when either someone takes the penalty for someone, or somehow the person who did the wrong is set free. Either there's some type of
pardon,
or there was something with the evidence that was tampered, or there was a problem with it. Maybe someone lied or something. So there's two sides to it. There's justice, which is kind of like a laser beam. There's no gray, or mercy, which is gray. And there are two, well, there's all kind of different kinds of people, but that's what Regina said. I want to see justice done. And sometimes you feel that way about life.
Sure.
And justice, black and white. You're wrong. You did this, or this situation happened, and I want to see you pay for it.
Right.
Where mercy, for instance, the huntsman, in a way, is an exemplary person as far as mercy.
Yes.
Even though he was told to kill Snow White, when he read that note and he knew what the evil queen had plans for her, he showed mercy on her and said, go.
Right.
So it's just interesting, those two sides of the coin. So I think we've talked about, the word plan came up again. Plan. Regina mentioned that, the plan.
Yes.
August, the plan. So also we learned that love is weakness. So it's
according
kind of
to,
a bad.
According to Mama Mills.
Yeah, love is weakness. And she said power endures. Which reminded me of, who do you think?
Rumpelstiltskin.
Right. So Rumpelstiltskin is a pretty popular guy. Love is bad and power is good.
That's because he's had his heart broken.
True. That's all I got.
That's all you've got?
That's all I got.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yep.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to have to kick this into high gear now.
Okay.
Okay, so the fact that Regina's mother pulled his heart out and it glowed just like Graham's.
Okay.
That was pretty wild.
Yep.
That's not normal.
Right.
But that was because, and I wonder if that's because her magic makes the heart glow.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because any other person would have cut out a heart and it would have looked just like a regular old heart.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, let's see. Emma and August were talking, mm-hmm. and she was essentially apologizing, and Ruby screams at the top of her lungs.
Right. And, yeah, I didn't write that down yet.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yep.
And then she comes running around the corner, and she's crying. She's in the alley. She's in the alley in the parking lot. And they go running back there, and it's, oh, my yep. God, it's Catherine.
Yep.
Looking like a homeless woman. She's all bedraggled and just what? So, I mean, talk about epic.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
Yep.
Where'd she come from? Where's she been? Because that's always been the thing all along. Well, we've always said, okay, so they did DNA tests. Supposedly it was Catherine Tart. So obviously somebody lied.
Hold on. But Regina actually confessed. Remember?
Wait, she did.
When Mary
she,
Margaret
yeah. oh,
said,
hi.
I didn't kill her. And
well,
she
I know
said,
you didn't, dear.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Yes, but nobody was around to hear that.
I know. Right. So yes. See, so now we see that Catherine is in fact alive.
Yeah.
So then the question is, whose heart was in there that the DNA matched?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know. I don't think Mary Margaret's going to go to trial. Do you?
No. No. I'm pretty sure she's not going to go to trial.
I think, you know,
I think that's
the
pretty
case
much
is,
done and over with. Case yeah. closed. Because, again, here's the other thing that killed me. I don't... not once have they even said, where's the body?
Right.
They've just had a heart and they assume there's a murder based on a heart and the fact that, quote-unquote, DNA matches. Right. They assume it, but it's like, well, why aren't you digging for the body? And I was kind of hoping they would find a body or something to that effect when she went digging around by the toll bridge. But she didn't.
I thought we were going to find another part something of Fairy Tale Land something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I kind of was like wondering what was going to happen with that, but wow. Wow.
Great episode.
It
and
was.
And the little promo next week of August really stepping in, the shots of the Zoso knife and Rumpelstiltskin, and they are really ramping up to one great finale. And
holy
I've heard
cow.
I've heard little bits here and there from my little friends in Steveston there, and it is going to be wild. Buckle up. This thing.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know.
As a matter of fact, they even have sections where they hang these big curtains up
mm-hmm.
so nobody can take pictures.
Well, yeah, because
yeah, it's serious.
The funny thing is there have been little leaks here and there about the finale. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the cast members didn't even get their scripts until 2 weeks before.
Right.
So there's no possible way
I know.
Some of the stuff that people are tweeting out there, oh, it's finale. No, yeah. It can't be.
So it happened with Star Wars films. It
yeah.
happened
oh, it
with
happens,
every
it
film.
It happens with all of them.
You know, there's these test scripts that float around and
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
I've got this and I've got that. But, you know, I would think that ABC, you know, Kitsis and Horowitz in 2012
mm-hmm.
kind of have it all. They worked on Lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so anyhow. But, yeah, this was a humdinger. And we're going to continue to move forward and... You know, what a great ride. What a great ride.
I will say this, too, is little Miss Bailey Madison did a great job in the role of young Snow.
Yep.
She was very innocent, very sweet. And I love the fact that her costuming and stuff looked more like the Disney cartoon than we've seen so far.
Yep.
She had some similarities. And there were so many things. And Barbara Hershey, oh, my gosh, that woman is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She completely just knocked it out of the park. They all, they're all amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love this episode. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, beyond anything I could have imagined. It was really, really good.
Well, they call me Papa mm-hmm. of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I got love for all the groups. I got love for all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to give a little fist pump to the evil Regals.
Because
mm-hmm. I think Lana did a... fantastic job. It was so nice to see the other side, to
yeah.
see the before and
yeah.
just to see her in love for real. And we saw mm-hmm. her with the genie and,
right.
and Graham and that kind of thing. But It was nice. There's all tragedy is everywhere, and I think it happens to everybody. There's sadness in life and all that, but it was really nice to see her happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, fortunately, it did not last. But so
it was one. It's one of those things that you just kind of go, okay, I get why she's upset. Her anger is a little misdirected.
We don't see the rest of the story, though.
But that's true. So. But from what I'm seeing there, I don't think Snow was malicious in doing it.
But
that's, again, we haven't seen the whole thing, so we don't know.
Right.
But I'm, you know, just based on what we saw, it doesn't look like Snow was malicious intent. In fact, if anything, it seemed to me like she just thought she was the most amazing person ever to save her life from, you know, she's what, all 13, 14 years old at the time. She thought she was so amazing for saving her life from this crazy horse that we learned that Regina's mother very likely put some sort of spell on to purposely trap her.
Right.
That's how that worked out. But what amazed me is that it very much felt like she missed her mother so much, and Regina was so sweet to her and so wonderful to her, and she hadn't had that kindness from somebody who didn't even know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she kind of attached herself and really wanted Regina to be her mother.
There's something really interesting, and I know that you kind of remind me a lot that this is a fairy tale, Jeff. This is a fairy tale, Jeff. But when I watch King Leopold,
mm-hmm.
and I see someone that is so kind to the marrow of his bones.
Yeah.
It is just so, it shines out.
Yeah.
Because everyone has their agenda. Everyone is doing all these different types of things. We're seeing these, you know, and in a way he is a cardboard character.
He's very,
in that he's just very kind.
Yeah,
and
he's one-dimensional right now.
Right.
Because that's all we've seen of him. We haven't seen anything beyond. We don't know how he got the way he is, why he is the way he is. We don't know any of that. We don't know. We haven't seen anything about him, so.
So, yes, that is it. I don't have anything else, but.
No, but I cannot wait for the next episode, which it looked like it's not going to be back for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Oh my gosh.
Well, ABC, you have a few weeks off. Well, maybe you could announce maybe season two. You got a little time.
Yeah, maybe.
Because we'll be not watching once for a while. So anyhow, you already heard in the show the different ways that you can get a hold of us.
Mm-hmm.
Send us an email, call in a voicemail. There is also, if you're outside of the U.S., you can use Skype to call in a voicemail out of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Jay Roney, J-R-O-N-E-Y, on Skype, and you can call in using Skype, and you can also send an audio file via your smartphone. So if you got an iPhone, you can record your little audio message.
Mm-hmm.
About the show, and email it to feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. So thanks so much for listening to The First Thoughts. Our regular show is going to be recorded, not live, but we're going to record it on Thursday. We're going to play the awesome voicemails that always come in.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know, there could be surprises in that show. There could be surprises on the Saturday Live show. We're going to be trying out Ustream. And trying out new things is always fun and exciting. So we're moving away from Mixlr to see if we can't fix some of the issues. And with Ustream, they do play an ad when you first connect to it. So be aware, we're only going to be using it for the audio. You're not going to be seeing our face on video. Thank goodness. So anyhow, until Thursday when we upload the show, this is Jeff and Colleen. Sending big love out to you. Once Upon a Time just rocks.
It does.
It rocks a lot.
Unbelievable.
So we'll talk to you soon. See you then.
Bye.